for robot building supplies. Merbu Decking, random and set length, in stock now.
On Deck Small Business Loans, approved in hours. Apply now on deck.com.au. You're with Jack Heverin on SEN.
Well, we certainly ticked all of the boxes in the first hour. It was a very, very busy start to the show. Leo Schlink, the chief racing writer of the Herald Sun, joined us off the top with the latest on Darren Weir.
Victoria Police have issued charges against four men. One of them is a 49-year-old, Darren Weir, with charges relating to the raid back in January, we all remember. And as of today, he's been charged allegedly with conspiracy to defraud, offences under the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act, which the details are engaging in torturing, abusing, overworking and terrifying thoroughbred racehorses. There's three counts there. And there's more charges, and so nine in total for him.
David Hussey, the coach of the Melbourne Stars, join me a little bit later on the hour with the news that they have signed Dale Steyn.
Yeah, it's taken a long time to get it done. It's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. It's probably a signing that probably wasn't on the radar until a by-chance meeting with a sports agent in England a couple of months ago. And we got all these players named to us. Would you like this guy, this guy, this guy, this player? And none of them really fitted the strategy of how we want to play here at the MCG or abroad. And all of a sudden, by chance, Dale Steyn sort of walked past, and the agent said, "Oh, what about Dale Steyn?" And and like you said before in the intro, that yeah, he's a born competitor, and I can't wait to see him bolt absolute thunderbolts at the MCG during the Big Bash.
And then a few moments ago, we spoke to the manager of Tim Kelly, Anthony van der Whelen. After a deal has been done, he'll be a West Coast Eagle next year.
Yeah, look, I think he is. We're just organising all those things at the moment, but I'd say he'll be there within the next couple of hours, and I'm not sure what's happening around media and press conferences and things like that, but all that's being done at the moment. So it's literally only happened about 20 minutes ago that the papers were signed and we walked out of AFL House.
Anthony, are you able to tell us the length of Tim's commitment to the West Coast Eagles?
Yeah, it's a six-year contract, Kip, so he'll be playing out his days in the blue and gold.
All of those chats are available now, sen.com.au, or you can download the podcast. Brendan Joyce in the studio later on this hour, and we believe that the West Coast Eagles will have a press conference later on this hour where they will unveil Tim Kelly as one of theirs for 2020. Sri Lanka 5 for 114 in the Women's One Day International at Allan Border Field as well. Just on the Tim Kelly deal, I explained that before the news. I just want to back over it one more time because there's an extra layer to it that Bombers fans have been asking the question about. I don't have the full answer to Essendon's involvement yet. But basically what it looks like is West Coast are agreeing to send two first-round picks in selection 24. So the full breakdown of this is the Cats are going to get picks 14, 24, 37 and the 2020 first-round pick. In exchange, the Eagles are going to get Tim Kelly, pick 57 and a third-round pick in the 2020 draft. Why Bombers fans are asking the question is because pick number 37 belongs to them at the moment. So Mitch Cleary from AFL.com.au, who's been all over this story from the absolute get-go, and of course you'll hear him as part of what we're doing on Trade Radio tonight and Time on Trade from 6 o'clock this evening, but we'll learn a little bit more about Essendon's involvement. Mitch going on to report that it's expected that that same pick 37 is going to unlock Geelong's pursuit of Jack Stephen. The Saints expecting that they will receive a mid-second rounder along the way through for that as well. So more on that. We sort of always find that during this trade period, there's one trade that needs to happen and then other things start to unload on the back of that. With a bit of luck, it's Tim Kelly. Please, 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 can we have a few more? As always, it's not just what's happening in sport, it's sport within the media, how it's portrayed, how it's spoken about, and how it's broadcast. Sam Duncan, the senior sports media lecturer from the Holmes Glen Institute, joins me. Have you got a bit of a headache trying to work your way through all of those trades, Sam?
Oh, it's an extraordinary time of year, Jack. I can't believe it. I can't believe how it's grown and become the monster, if you like, that it is now. I mean, not even 5 years ago it was like this, but year on year it seems to get that little bit more frenetic. And so it is that we're neck deep in it without anything really happening. I mean, a lot of speculation, but that's what people seem to love too. So
it's the sport of hope.
It'll continue.
That's what I've heard it called, Sam, the sport of hope trade period. Because if your team didn't win the premiership. You want to know how you're going to win the premiership.
Well, it can also be a period of despair if your team just snuck into the eight, got flogged in a final, and then two players, put their hand up and suggest that they might want to leave. There's hope and then there's despair.
Here's the Essendon supporter in you really starting to come out. Just before we pick your very extensive brain, as a Bombers fan, how are you feeling about now?
Very, very worried, Jack. I remember seeing Joe Danaher when he was a kid, like all Essendon fans, and as soon as I saw him, I thought, this bloke is going to be a star. He's going to be one of Essendon's greatest players of all time. Now, that's an early call, but he just had that hunger for the footy. He wanted people to kick it to him as an 18-year-old, and I still reckon he's going to be an absolute star.
Yep.
I just don't think it's going to necessarily, well, it won't be with Essendon.
No, it'll be in a different state, unfortunately. I think Orazio might be the same. Sam, I want to start a couple of things from a broadcast point of view today that I want to talk to you about. One is the A-League's broadcast deal. We'll get there in just a moment, but Sunday was LaMelo Ball's first game in the NBL, and it was he's been a draw card for them. RJ Hampton is the big name that's playing for New Zealand, but LaMelo's game was broadcast back into the United States on Facebook Watch. Now, a lot of people won't even know what Facebook Watch is. It's quite new, and it's sort of recently been unveiled. Over 1 million people in America, in an unfriendly time for Americans as well, it's got to be said, it was just about the middle of the night, watched LaMelo Ball debut for the Illawarra Hawks against the Brisbane Bullets.
It's sensational.
On a Facebook stream.
Well, Jack, the future is now. That's what's going to happen increasingly. I mean, it's happening. It'll surprise a lot of people to hear that things like that are happening, but it's fairly commonplace as organisations, mega organisations, Jack, like Facebook and Google and Amazon, get their hands on what they consider to be a premium product. And sport is premium. Whatever is going to attract people to their platform, they are now interested in, and we have the technology available to do it. And so increasingly, people are becoming more and more accustomed to watching their sport that way. And it really raises huge question marks about the future of television. And by that, I mean traditional broadcast television, Jack, because, you know, streaming sport is pretty seamless these days.
And it's probably worth mentioning, too, the quality of the broadcast. Like, it's not being filmed off a Nokia 3210. A lot of them are now in HD.
These are fair dinkum broadcasters, if you like.
Yeah.
They produce a quality product, because to raise your head above the quagmire of content out there, if you like, it has to be quality. I mean, you can't go to the people with anything less. People will pick you apart if they don't think that your product is, you know, what it needs to be, and they'll let you know, and executives will listen. So, look, I think the future of sport is that we are increasingly going to stream rather than watch traditional broadcasters, and fundamentally that'll be a matter of dollars and cents. TV networks need audiences to generate advertising revenue, and without it, others will swoop in and take the products off them.
So there's two parts to that. One is that I think as consumers getting used to watching it and getting comfortable and accustomed to watching it, are you seeing that trend starting to really take shape? I reckon if you had have said to someone 5 years ago, why don't you watch a game of basketball or an NFL game or something on your phone? They'd probably say, oh, nah, I'm right.
No doubt.
Whereas now it's very commonplace, isn't it?
Absolutely. And these things happen quicker than we know. I mean, you know, things evolve and it seems like it's taken forever. It hasn't. I reckon the last couple of years there has been a boom in streaming figures.
Yep.
No matter what the type of content, whether we're watching, you know, TV or video-based content or audio, people are so accustomed now to consuming it via their phone, laptop, iPad, whatever. It is an age of convenience. And if you can carry your television and radio around with you in your pocket and still access everything you want, you'll do it. I mean, there is no shortage. I had a class last year when I asked this question outright, and 80%, I would say, maybe even 90% stream sport more than watching it on traditional TV. That included AFL.
Is that because of the age demographic, though, or is that because it's becoming more and more common?
I think that is a little bit more, I think that's a mix of both.
Yep.
I think younger demographic are more prone to embrace new technologies and new ways of consuming. And I think there's a real education piece on the over, you know, 50s, if you like, on still watching sport or consuming sport via those more mobile ways. They're far more inclined to watch in traditional ways. But because of that, we've got this kind of weird media landscape where, you know, a younger demographic are moving away from traditional broadcasters, but they've still got rock solid figures,
yep,
you know, with the older demographic. How that changes over time is the great question. And, you know, in that question lies the answer to the future of consuming sport.
And the secondary part to that is, at what point will a sport be either forced to do it because of cost and broadcast cost, or they just want to be ahead of the game? Could you see a point in the next 10 years where a particular sport just makes the jump and because of the cost steers away from traditional broadcast and goes to an all-digital platform?
Well, it might well be that it's forced upon them. If they're trying to sell their product and a broadcaster isn't buying, then, you know, there is a legitimate second option. It is to go fully digital. And I think that that is more likely than not to happen. TV is in a really interesting place where it still wants quality premium content. It just doesn't want to pay too much for it. And I know that sounds strange considering the broadcasting rights for our premium sports have gone up. But if you have a look around, there's a lot of other sports that cannot, for the life of themselves, get a big free-to-air deal. And it's because free-to-air broadcasters, A, don't have the money, or B, don't want to spend the money relative to the advertising revenue they're going to bring back. Producing sport is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of sports are doing it themselves and then selling the fully produced product back to, you know, broadcasters.
Yeah.
And that, I think, will continue too. So, no, I don't think it will be long at all before some sports are only consumable through digital platforms.
And I guess the other part to that too is that it's an immediate measurable number, isn't it? As opposed to a rating system which may or may not be accurate. You can click and get a reading down to the person and any minute you want.
And in an age where we love to measure everything, we love to measure the life out of everything. Everything needs to have a number next to it. I mean, this is what, you know, executives want. How popular is our product right now at this minute?
Sam Duncan from the Holmes Glen Institute is with us right now. 1300 736 736. Tim and Edith, I'll get to your call straight after this. And you can send in your text as well for Sam on the Speckle text machine. Speckle cash loans are up to $2,000 and they are paid fast. Sri Lanka 5 for 116 in the Women's One Day International. Brendan Joyce to join me in about 15 minutes from now. Tim Kelly will speak for the first time as a West Coast Eagle before the end of today. And way back Wednesday this week is the legendary Ron Joseph. That's all to come. But I've got Sam Duncan from the Holmes Glen Institute in the studio with me. We've certainly uncorked the genie here when it comes to broadcast rights and streaming and HD and standard definition and all that sort of stuff. It's becoming a big deal for people.
My word it is. The way in which people watch sport means an awful lot to them. You will find people walking the street that wouldn't care as long as they can see it on a, you know, fuzzy, grainy TV will do. And then there's others that want the best possible package they can get. And that's increasingly the case. The expectation of the viewer is that the product will be premium.
Tim's in Edith Vale, wants to have a chat to you. G'day, Tim.
G'day, Sam.
G'day,
Jack,
Tim.
How are you going?
Good, good.
This is probably my biggest. We had friends down from Queensland for the grand final, and we did a couple of things. But we're sitting down watching the grand final, and it comes through on standard definition, and I'm going, "Oh, this is just rubbish." And they go, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, wait till 5:30 till Fox gets hold of the grand final," and they couldn't believe the quality of picture difference between the two. Why do we get treated like mugs?
Yeah, well, this is a huge deal to a lot of people. Increasingly, you log on to social media and there's commentary around standard definition versus high definition. Basically, this is a technical issue, and I'm not a technical issue, and it's also been a government issue. I mean, the standard free-to-air channels, yes, 7, 9 and 10, have traditionally been standard definition. And then their digital or secondary platforms, and this goes for Foxtel as well, are high definition. And in the past, there have been occasions when 7 has offered the grand final on their HD channel and their standard definition channel, but it has fragmented audiences. And this year, clearly, to ensure that their figures were as big as possible on one single platform and to ensure they didn't have to, you know, cater for different markets, I guess, they've brought it all together on the standard definition. But it irks people. It irks people.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it irks people because there's the expectation that they will have the best available product possible. And their opinion is, if we've got the ability to do it, if we've got the technology to do it, why isn't it done? And the reason is, in this instance, because the standard channel, the main channel, is in standard def, and that's the platform that the grand final shone on, and Seven this year decided not to offer the HD option on its HD channels.
Got people very annoyed as well. Tim, thanks for your call. Trent will grab your details and we'll send you off to Caulfield Guineas Day on Saturday. Just before I let you go, Sam, you've got a class that you need to educate in about half an hour from now.
So I do.
If you're students of Sam's, get to class, because Sam's going to be there on time.
Week 11.
Week 11?
Yeah, of 13. So we're nudging to the finish
you're
line.
You're almost there. The A-League announced their deal late last week that it will involve the ABC, that they were, to be honest, for a point that they were looking like they were in a bit of trouble in terms of what the broadcast deal looked like. What's the benefit of being on a free-to-air platform as opposed to a sole pay TV platform like they were?
Basically numbers, accessibility, Jack. Almost, 100% of people who own a television have the ABC. Still, Foxtel can only get its foot into the door of about 30% of Australians' homes. Now, there's KO options and other streaming options, but basically it's a big difference, isn't it? So if you're on free-to-air television, you're just simply more accessible to more people. That's not to say that, you know, your pay television providers don't provide a great service. For the real hardcore fans, they've probably got subscriptions. But if you want the average Joe to stumble across your product and enjoy that product while they're watching so much that they watch again next week, your best bet is on a free-to-air network. Now, what the A-League really want is a big commercial free-to-air network to put a big spin behind it, package it up, put it out there and drive interest. I don't really think they'll get that from the ABC, but at least it's there and they have a responsibility now, I think, to really market and push that.
And I guess with the ABC, there's some restrictions around what you can advertise and how you go about it as well. So they'll need to work through that.
No doubt about it. I mean, that's where, you know, commercial sport's probably been a better fit for commercial networks for all the commercial plugs that we incessantly get. you know, sport really has become a massive advertising billboard. So that will be interesting. But it's there. It's on free-to-air. We thought Channel 10 would, you know, go to it, as they have had. They've sort of hidden it away, though, on their digital channels, on their secondary and tertiary channels. But the ABC's got it. They've got 29 games, and they will be hoping that, in particular the A-League, will be hoping that that leads to a broader interest, because that's what they want, more people watching on a weekly basis.
Sam, thank you. Always nice to have you in.
Always a pleasure to be here,
and
Jack.
As an Essendon point of view, I hope that you can get some sort of result in the next couple of weeks as well.
Me too. It's a nervous time. I thought that I would only not sleep if we ever got into a grand final, but it's happening in trade week.
It's coming before that.
Can you believe it?
I'll see you next week.
See you then.
News time with Steph. Brendan Joyce up next.